come up here this week. So Jason was supposed to have a procedure, found out, what, Friday he wasn't going to get to have it, which is terrible. And Ron, gotcha. Wow, terrible. And a lot goes into getting ready for a sermon, usually by Thursday. Richie's doing the bulletin. And Ron looked back there, sent us all an email, and said, you know, it's not my week. I'd like to sit in the back for what? So for 50 years, Ron's been standing up here at this podium, or the original Babcock Road in here, and it'd be nice to have him get a chance to sit back. But 50 years, if you think about this, exactly 50 now? Not quite, we're getting close. Preaching like, wow, 50 years. It's a long time. It's a really long time. Game of life. I was looking, going through the closets, as you know, are empty nesters now, and you start going through things and saying, we got to get rid of stuff. You know, Jennifer and I are getting, you know, 53, and she's not, but I won't say her age, because I'll get in trouble for saying that, but you start going through things, you start trying to get rid of things. And going through the old game closet was those games you got Scrabble in there, you got Battleship, and you got, right there in the middle was a Game of Life, and that just really, like, really struck home with me at that moment, getting rid of the game of life, because, you know, we didn't need it. We needed it more. And we don't have any grandkids yet. It's coming. It's coming. It's right around the corner. But I said, oh, you know, I haven't played that game in a long, 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 I bet it's been 25 years since I played that game. And didn't look at the data on the box, but I had to go back and I had to, so what are the rules of the game of life? So I actually looked it up for this presentation this morning. So the first thing they tell you about playing the game of life is know the rules. Very important process in playing a game. The second thing is go to college. This is to win the game, by the way, if you want to be an expert player. Go to college, get married, have kids, don't cheat, have fun, and have the most money at the end of the game. Seems fairly relative, doesn't it? If you think about your life and the game of life as you go through that same kind of process, right? Go to college, get married, have kids, don't cheat, make as much money as you can, and hopefully stand at the end of the road and say, I've got more money than anybody else. Doesn't make any sense, does it, in the end? But that's kind of life that's today. It makes us forget about the reality of what life is really all about in the end. So I'm 53 years old now. I mentioned that earlier. I keep reminding myself that I'm 53 years old now. I remember when I was 8. Some of you heard the story once where I got hit by a car when I was 8 years old. My mom thought I was a goner. I preached about that last time. I remember when I was 12. I remember being in the first day of middle school at Rudder Middle School when it was just open right down the street. And I had no idea where I was at. I remember being lost. And I remember being late to my first class. And I remember standing up there, walking in class, and, yeah, I'm late. I remember being 14, my first day of high school. Same thing, starting all over again at Marshall High School, right down the street. I remember being late to the first class. I remember not knowing where I was going. And I remember it was raining, and back then, Marshall didn't have those wonderful awnings that they put up. When you got rained on, you got drenched, and you went to class fully wet. I remember being 18 and graduating. I remember being 20 up in college. I remember being 25 and meeting Jennifer. I remember being 27 and Bethany being born. I remember turning 40, and I remember finding tombstones in my front yard when I woke up that morning. That's some nice person had put. I remember being 50 and finding a very large AARP sign in my front yard. By the way, I did that to him. He just was returning the favor. So if you know who that is. And, you know, very soon I hope I get to remember being a grandfather. You know, when I look out from these eyes, from looking back into my memories, it looks the same. Nothing's changed from what I see. But then I go look in the mirror, and a lot has changed. I have gray hair now. Shocking. I found it. You know, I'm not as physically fit as I used to. My knees don't work. I can't run down the street anymore. But And then you realize how many days have gone by, how many weeks, how many months, how many years, how many decades. Time keeps rolling by. I want y'all, you heard Jonathan's reading this morning. I'd like y'all to turn it out and read with me again if you'd like to. But we're going to turn and we're going to look at Psalm 39. And we're going to read just verse 4. I'll give you a second to get there. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. You know that when you're younger, there are moments in time when life kind of feels infinite. You know, when things are going well, we kind of feel invincible, like nothing can hurt us. There's nothing going to stop me from tomorrow. But David, in this prayer, this psalm, he invites us into a sobering prayer. He doesn't ask for riches, he doesn't ask for protection, he doesn't ask for deliverance. Instead, he asks for perspective. Lord, make me to know my end. And yet, it's a pretty harsh way to start, right? And in the process is, Lord, help me to know my end. It's not a cry of despair that he's talking about here. It's a cry of wisdom. He's asking for long-term deliverance. When can I be with you? I think is what he's asking. I'm going to talk about 4 points in this prayer this morning. And the first point of this verse is a prayer for awareness. He says, Lord, make me to know my end. David is not being morbid. He's really not. He's being wise. He's saying, remind me that life has a limit. Help me live life to the highest. Too often we live as though we have unlimited time, postponing what matters most and chasing what doesn't. I mean, do you have any thought about, I'm not going to have a tomorrow? You think when you're young, think of the stupid things you did when you were younger, not worried about things. Richie and I used to jump off our friend's house for fun and not into a swimming pool. You know, you remember anybody ever opened up their sports car when they were younger and see what it does on the freeway? Come on, who's done it? Robert, raise your hand. Richie, raise your hand. I mean, think about it. We had no care, but if you imagine driving 140 miles an hour down 410 at 3 o'clock in the morning? I don't know who did that, but good thing they didn't have cameras back then. But you know, I had no care in the world. I didn't worry about that. But when we forget our end, we kind of lose our way. We waste time, we neglect relationships, and we assume there's always going to be tomorrow. But Davis teaches us the path to wisdom begins with a healthy awareness of our mortality. Point two that David talks about in this is measuring life God's way. In the verse he says, and what is the measure of my days? We measure our days in years, right? But God measures them in purpose. He knows we're only here for a short amount of time. So some people live to be 80 years and leave little impact. You know, some people live 30 years and live a glorious impact. You think JD, I mean, they're back 95 years old. Most of y'all know who JD was about 6 years ago. Now, but that man left a mark, right? So, but what kind of mark do you want to live and leave in that short span of time that you wish? Ask yourself, am I spending my days or am I investing in those days? Am I investing in others? Not in money, but are you investing where it matters? You can't take it with you. There's only one way to invest, and where you invest is where you can spend eternity. Point three, a heart that knows its frailty. In the verse it says, that I may know how frail that I am. This is perhaps the most humble part of the overall verse, and David isn't boasting, boasting in his strength as a warrior or a king. You remember, David did some pretty cool things when he was growing up. Everybody knows the story about him taking down the 10-foot-tall giant, right? We all know that story. And we all know the story about him being his king. He acknowledges his vulnerability in the prayer. He says, this is a prayer that confesses, God, I am not in control, and I gotta have you. God, I'm not in control, and I gotta have you. This kind of humility is not a weakness. It's wisdom. Knowing our frailty leads us to depend on God who is strong. In a world that glorifies self-reliance, David glorifies surrender. Part four of this is living with an eternal purpose. When we know our time is limited, we begin to live differently in life. We start to pay attention to the little things. We start to forgive faster. You remember when you were younger, could you hold a grudge? Anybody steal your boyfriend or girlfriend, and how long did it take you to talk to them? You ever mad at your brother or sister? You ever mad at your parents? How long did it take you to forgive them? But you learn that it doesn't matter. You learn that those people have valuable parts of your lives, and you want to be as close as possible to them. You learn to love deeper. You know, you're married, and how quickly can you leave the house in the morning when you're busy and you're in a hurry? And it's like, bye, dear. Love you. That doesn't mean anything. Or what does it mean to just say, good morning, I love you, give a hug? How much longer does that take? But you realize how precious that person is that you're spending your life with. You speak more kindly. You know, when we're young, a lot of things can come out of our mouths. And we say things that are hurtful. We say things that are mean. We do things pointedly. We get in fights. You get older, none of that means anything anymore. But you start to talk to people the things that you remember about them that are awesome. You try to make people feel better about themselves. You go about your life not trying to hurt anymore, but trying to help. You hold less tightly to material things. Just like we're doing right now. We're cleaning out the house. All those things that have been stuffed in closets for years and years and years, they don't mean anything. We just start getting rid of them. Ron was telling me a story this morning about how many dumpster loads of one of that he's cleaned out, and he could do another couple of dumpster loads. I remember Trisha's dad just would build another barn out on his property when he'd run out of space. He literally would build another barn and fill it up. And how many dumpsters did it take at the end? Months and months and months. But you start getting rid of things. You focus more on what will last eternally the closer you know you get. We start asking ourselves this different questions. The first question is, will this matter in eternity? If what I'm doing today doesn't matter long term? What I'm doing tomorrow doesn't matter long term? What I'm doing today, does it affect me eternally? Am I growing closer to Christ? You know, we come to church every Sunday. You show up in the morning, and your whole purpose of being here is to show your love of your God and to become closer. But if you ask that question in the morning, you wake up and you spend your day saying, today, I'm going to get closer to God. Today, this morning, I'm going to get closer to God at some point today. And lastly, am I helping others do the same? You know, we have a purpose. You know, God said, there's a couple of scriptures that talk about what must I do to be saved, right? It talks about believe and be baptized, every one of you. And he also says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. If you're doing that, love should be pouring out of you. Everyone should know when they're having a bad day or when, man, I really need to get closer. They should know you're the person they want to call. I need God today. I'm going to call whoever. I'm going to call Richie. I'm going to call Ron. I'm going to call Trisha. I'm going to call Jay. I'm going to call Robbie. I'm going to call Jonathan. Because he's right with God, and I need to feel what that's like. And then our job is to show. Will this matter in eternity? Am I growing closer with Christ today? And am I helping others do the same? So, the game of life. It's not really a game, but it is a short time. Eternity sounds like forever. Sounds like a really, really long time. 80 years doesn't sound very long. So, when you're spending your time this week, you're going out. Are you getting closer with Christ? Are you focused on the things that matter? And are you sharing what's important to you with everybody else around? At the end of every talk, we're all going to beat the Baptist lunch today, by the way. I'm sure of it. At the end of every talk, we have an invitation. When we invite people, if you haven't accepted Christ yet, if you haven't been baptized, to do it today. And I'd like you to stand with me as we sing our invitation.